I'm in. Here we go. Why did Ryan inhale?
He's gonna say it with you.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show.
I will.
You gotta say your name after that.
You gotta say it. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, one more time.
It's like you forgot your name.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Someday we should do different names and see if people catch them.
Ooh, different order or different names?
No, like,
say different names.
I'm Ryan Pills.
Ryan, your voice is so different.
Yes. People probably won't even know.
No. I mean, one of the girls that chimed in with that, they should have jumped in with.
I'm Will Meadows. No, that doesn't
work. You got to get a little more nasally. That's the trick.
My nose isn't big.
And excited.
and excited. That's the definition. Cool. Well, cool. We've talked for 9 minutes, and welcome to the show.
All right. Today, we have 5 games we are talking about that are coming to Kickstarter the week of February 12th, 2018.
Awesome.
Yeah, we also got an interview. We're going to do a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we obviously need to talk about the Kickstarter.
It launched today.
It did.
Which would be a week ago.
So by now, hopefully we're funded. I don't know. We'll see.
Where are we at? Let me check where we're at while you keep talking.
Halfway-ish there, I think. We launched this morning at 10. Yeah, 10 a.m. And I've seen great response. Thank you guys so much for jumping in and sharing a little love with us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some cool promos. We're at
$1,866 of $3,000.
All right, so. Cool. So almost two-thirds of the way
almost
there.
Almost 2,000,
yeah. I can't do math.
Yep. 88 people love us.
Yay! Hopefully you'll go check it right now, because you'll want to go back us as soon as you hear this. You'll be like, I haven't packed yet.
We need you.
And we'll be on like stretch goal number 9. Tell us about some of those stretch goals, Kevin.
Sure. Yeah, so the first one is Studio Funding. Awesome. Well, we got fun.
Is that the first one?
Yeah, Studio Awesome, the new studio.
That's the first stretch goal.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why. The base goal first.
Base goal at three. And then once we hit that, the first thing we're looking forward to is Studio Awesome.
Studio Awesome!
So you got some cool ideas for sets, I hear.
Yeah.
Cool ideas for stuff like
content-wise.
We're kind of tossing around the idea of talking about some RPGs and doing some things like that.
Talk to us about the set. What do you want to make?
Okay, well, I'm thinking about making, because we are RPG fans, I want to make a really large D20 dice. Okay. I've already got the art made for it.
Cool. So like a printout or like a three-dimensional ginormous?
Oh, just a print.
Okay.
three-dimensional, that would be awesome. I'll have to think about that for a little bit. Maybe in the future.
Bump that stretch goal up a little higher.
I know.
That is her specialty, is 3D art.
I know.
I'll have to figure out how to make that.
That'd be cool.
We'll be counting on that sooner.
That'd be cool. You guys can have like Studio Awesome can be just all the 3D stuff. So that'd be really cool.
Minis and
yeah.
So our whole episode in 3D.
Whoa.
VR.
Like glasses.
Your eyes to watch.
That could be a thing, man.
All right.
The next stretch goal.
The next stretch goal is a second camera angle goal, which Will wants to talk about.
Okay.
What's this?
Oh, man, I feel bad that I don't remember who it is. I've been watching some videos from other people, obviously, and one of the guys out there, he does minis. I'm going to have to find a link and put it in the footer. He just does really gorgeous video work. Like, he has two different camera angles that he shoots simultaneous.
Okay.
So you can see him playing and talking, but you can also see the second angle, which is the table, so you can see exactly what's going on.
Like a box cutout.
No, it's like overlaid and it's green screen. Yeah, okay. It's the only way you could do it, I think. So just looking at his work, I would love to rip it off because it's beautiful. Applaud the guy. Yeah. We'll give him credit whenever we do because it's worth it. And I think that would add to the playthrough videos that we do.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be cool.
And I think that would be a cool way to be able to make sure that you're not missing anything when you watch those things.
Right.
Even though Ben does a fantastic job. Ben, shout out.
Thanks, Ben.
Cutting back and forth from different angles to catch the important details. Like, it's just a really good format that this guy uses. So I'd love to be able to add that to what we're shooting.
See us. Hear us talking, see our facial expressions, and see the board at the same time.
Yeah, see all the pieces.
So if we have four eyes, you can see it all.
You only need two eyes with this setup, so right now you need four. But
and then the one that you can see right now is an extra promo, so everyone could get an extra promo if we reach the 6,000.
And then there's a couple of hidden goals.
There's hidden goals, which we will talk about later.
Yeah, we'd love to reach those, so help us get there by next week so that on the next episode we can talk about all the other cool goals that we got going on in there.
So we've had some people contact us, and we've got some new bundles that we didn't talk about last week. So
yeah, we've added some new things since then.
So check out the Kickstarter campaign for Tantrum House.
Yeah, but don't wait too long because some of the bundles are already gone.
That's right.
And some are limited for sure, like autographed packages with a bunch of different games in them. So hopefully they're still there when you're listening to this. You're not too disappointed when you show up at our awesome Kickstarter page. We'd love to hear from you, though. Let us know what which promos that you guys are backing and which things you wish we had, because we want to try to get those for next time.
Yeah, we can get this for next time.
And, support us. We'd love to...
Don't delay, because this Kickstarter isn't going to be up for
It's only 21 days, so by the time you hear this, it's only going to be like 2 weeks left. It's a shorter campaign.
That's right.
You can do it. People can help us.
We don't drag it out. We trust you. We know you guys.
Yeah. Well, it's stressful. I have to watch it. And I'm like, oh no, are we going to do it? Are we going to get to the next stretch goal? I don't even know. too stressful.
It is. It's fun stress, but it is stressful. It's an interesting time. Cool. So that's the Kickstarter. And then we do have one other thing we should talk about. We talked about it a little bit. Is the game day coming up.
Yes.
February 24th.
Yep.
Just talked to some people today about food trucks.
Oh, we got food trucks.
You got to have food trucks if you're going to do a game day.
That's awesome. So what are our two? Do we have one or two? Or?
You know, I don't remember what the food option was.
I thought it was a Chuck truck or something.
I think that is correct.
So that
there
sounds
was like too
like
many options for me.
Hamburgers or something.
Yeah, and like cool fries. I know they had like maybe like gastropub.
I don't want cool fries. I want hot fries.
Well, hot fries that come in multiple cool flavors.
Okay. Like cool.
Sweet potato and other such things.
Did you say sweet potato?
So cool.
French fries.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
And so, we're working with the local. There's actually a theater right next to the library. They're going to let us do some parking there. We got all those details in, so food trucks will be coming in. And
this
then
is our main Greenville library downtown. Greenville's a hot spot, and the main library is like right off the main street there. So
Greenville, South Carolina?
Yes, sir.
Greenville.
Yeah, that Greenville. Greenville, South Carolina.
And then we've also got a board gamer barbecue tour, which I don't know how much we've talked about that either, but that's coming together really well and looking cool.
We're barbecuing board gamers?
That's right. It's going to be exciting. We're partnering up with a guy who does tours, like culinary tours, and he's going to do a 3 barbecue stop, and at each stop we'll play some board games, and winners keep the games, and real reasonable for the food that you're getting plus the games. Sure. Like, it's going to be a cool deal, so...
Cool.
Plus transportation.
Right.
I think that was pretty cool.
The history tour and...
Yeah. Wow. Like, board gaming, barbecue, and history all in one fell swoop.
It's like the cultural trifecta of board games.
And I actually...
I do have to say, Greenville has good barbecue.
Oh, man.
That is true.
There. But something else that's happening that day is Tantrum Trivia live. We actually had someone... say something on social media today and say, we liked your Tantrum Trivia
shows.
So we're going to do that, but it's going to be live. I don't know if we're going to be able to record that or not, but...
we'll probably try. It might be... I don't know how good
it'll be live. Facebook Live or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be fun. I'm curious to see how that goes because it's going to be more game showy format kind of than we did. Like, normally it's kind of like man on the street trivia.
Yeah.
This time we're doing prizes, obviously, and then can you answer these questions and team up with some other people? And
got some tournaments, got some giveaways, got some cool stuff.
And we'll have a few prototypes of games that haven't to launch on Kickstarter that you'll get to check out and play ahead of time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which will be pretty cool.
I know.
All right, so let's give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode and all the episodes are sponsored by Final Frontier Games, publishers of Cavern Tavern, Rise to Nobility, and the upcoming Kickstarter for Robin Hood and the Merry Men.
Oh, yeah, we actually got to play that prototype tonight Ryan, Katie, Melissa, and Kevin, that's me. We all, I know, sorry.
All you guys?
We all played a 4-player game of Robin Hood and the Merry Men. It's a worker placement game.
It looked cool. I only got to see it from a distance.
Yeah. There's so much going on.
We have a 9-foot table, and they took up almost, I mean, we barely had room at the other side.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It was like half.
It took up a good amount of room.
It was over half.
Over half.
Boxes and all kinds of other stuff, too, on the table.
There's a lot going on. There was, like, where it's worker placement, and there are so many places you could put your meeples. Yeah. It was just, like...
Yeah.
It was, so worker placement. I just like play, I'm gonna play in my entire turn, and then I'm not gonna second guess myself.
Yeah, there's card play, there's dice rolling.
I didn't win.
Oh, but okay. Maybe not.
I won, but that's okay.
You won?
Let's just say
Kevin whooped us.
Okay.
Let's just say Will Scarlet, the gods of luck were not shining down upon him with his dice rolls.
Melissa.
It was actually fairly balanced for the three people who lost, because we were all within 1 point.
Oh, wow.
Except Kevin was 30 what? Points ahead
30.
Of us.
30?
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Were you Robin Hood?
No, I was Little John.
Oh, okay.
And I actually did, I think I played him very well, because he's able to, for free...
Is it variable player powers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For free action, I was able to get dice... On a free action, I still had to pay for the dice, but I was able to use it as a free action, which I think helped me in a couple of turns. I don't think it was overpowered, because other people, like Melissa, could use less dice for some of her rolling. But anyway.
So it's dice as worker placement?
There's no.
No?
No, just worker placement, but you need dice for certain battles.
Battle with dice.
Yeah, battle against the Sheriff of Nottingham's minions.
The dice are your weapons, and you have to collect the weapons. So you're collecting the dice to then use against.
And you need weapons to rob the carriages on the roads.
Gotcha.
So it's very thematic.
In archery tournaments.
Yeah, ooh. I think there is.
That's my favorite part of that movie. And by that movie, I mean the cartoon.
The cartoon version. Just best.
Robin Hood and Little John run through the forest. All right. So we're going to jump into our next segment, which is our house guest, Martin Poole. Welcome to the house.
Hey! Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here with Tantrum House this evening. We wanted to ask you a few questions about who you are and how you got into board gaming and how you became a designer.
It's quite a whirlwind story, to be honest. I've only been heavily into board games for the last year and a half, 2 years. I think the first game I bought was Heroes of Normandy. Fell out of love with video games, and I saw that, and I like war games and war films, so I thought I'd give it a go. On doing that, I come across Kickstarter. Which was a big hole that I fell in. And I didn't realise how much of a big industry it was. I come across an article in a UK newspaper saying that board games in 2017 or 2016 was a $1 billion industry worldwide. And I just thought, wow, you know, did a bit more research, saw that people could make games, get it onto Kickstarter and maybe not make a living, designers, but publishers were making a living from that. And I wanted to do that. You know, it was a hobby that I thought I could also get a career out of. So I started reviewing games as a way to get more copies quicker, so I could learn more of the mechanics and the huge array of games that are out there. And then I stumbled across the problem that people in America didn't want to pay the expensive shipping cost to get games to the UK. You know, what's the point? If I've only got 100-300 people reading my reviews, there's no point spending $60-$70 just on shipping to get me a game when they've got guys like you and other people that have got thousands and thousands of viewers, and it might only cost $10-$20. So that's when I come up with the idea of reaching out with other UK reviewers and offering a reviewer circle. So if somebody sends me a game, I can actually get 4 or 5 reviews, and we cover the shipping amongst ourselves. I reached out to Jamie Stegmaier with the idea, and he actually said, no, sorry, I'm not interested. And then Edo Barriff did a sort of segment, and he mentioned me. And then Jamie come back and went, actually, I understand that more. I'd like to give it a go. And he sent me every single game that he's got. I had this massive box of Stonewire games turn up, and I was opening it, and I was on the phone to the other guys, and I was like, look what we've got. We've got Scythe and Euphoria and Between Two Cities. And yeah, it was there I realised that it was just down to pure effort and not taking the no as a setback, as seeing that as a way of, okay, if you don't think it's good enough, I'm going to show you why you do need us.
Sure. So you moved from reviewing into designing a game. Tell me how you made that transition.
It was then I thought, I've overcome one obstacle already in such a short period of time. So I've got this idea of a game, like everybody does, on a piece of paper, and they think, how am I going to do it? And then that's where the difficult part is. It's easy to get it from your brain onto a piece of paper, but it's hard to get it from a piece of paper onto cardboard, so to speak. So okay. at the time, I just reviewed Cavern Tavern, and I was speaking to Tony from Final Frontier, and he wanted to do an interview and whatnot on Rise to Nobility just before the launch. So we spoke, and I told him about the idea of a Robin Hood game, and he was like, well, show me the idea. And I was like, okay. So we spoke for about 2, maybe 3 months about the idea of Robin Hood. Throughout the campaign of Rise to Nobility, we got the ideas down, a basic prototype, and then he was like, well, I'm happy with this, so as soon as Rise to Nobility is over, I'll show it to the other guys, and we'll see if we can start designing a proper prototype together and see where we can go from there.
So how much has the game actually changed from that original design to what it is now through the feedback and the playtesting and development process?
A lot is the easiest way to say it. It's hard when I hear people call me a designer, because like everything, everybody thinks that their idea is their idea and no one's ever done it before. And I think if there's people out there listening that are thinking they've got this almost, they treat it as their baby and they don't want people to change it and they think that a publisher is going to alter it for the worse, then they need to get them thoughts out their head straight away, because I've now had the chance to work with a lot of different publishers on a lot of different things, and a publisher only wants to take the best idea to market. At the end of the day, they're not going to take an idea that's not going to make them money, which in effect is not going to make you money. So you need to embrace the publisher's changes, which is what I did, and learn from them.
So tell me a little bit about that partnership with Final Frontiers. You had this idea, you guys were talking through it. I noticed you have multiple designers on this for Robin Hood. How did that all work in the process?
Final Frontiers is a little bit different to a lot of other publishers out there. Normally, you have the person that's in charge of the publisher, and then you have developers. So you've got your designer who makes all the mechanics, and then you've got your developer who refines that into the final game, so to speak. Final Frontier, they're all four of them are designers and developers, so they work together as a team. So that is absolutely brilliant when you're brainstorming, because you've got all these ideas flying at you. I was lucky because obviously I made it a 5-man team. But
And you aren't right there with them in the same time zone. How did that work?
Yeah, well, no, they're in Macedonia actually, so they're one hour ahead. So our
not too bad. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not bad at all. So it was Skype was our best friend. We were Skyping every day, Facebook messaging, sending ideas, pictures, having a secret Facebook group where when you're out shopping, you can just, you know, you're picking some soup or something off the shelf and you think, oh, I've got an idea, you can literally just quickly take your mobile phone out and you can write an idea on the group and then you can come back to it later. I think the biggest thing that I learned was, if you've got an idea, don't dwell on it, write it down, because you don't know how good that idea or where that idea will fit in until maybe a month or 2 months down the line. So write every single idea down and make the most of that.
Could you tell us a little bit about the game, our listeners, about Robin Hood? It's a semi-cooperative, but a competitive game. So can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, of course I can. But I wanted to make a Robin Hood game, and this is something that I said to Tony right at the start that felt thematic. Now, you've got Sheriff of Nottingham and everything like that that's set in that universe, but to me it doesn't feel like a Robin Hood game, and I'm a huge fan of Robin Hood. I've watched every film multiple times, so I'm looking forward to the one that's coming out later in the year as well. But the game is basically you take a hero, so you either play as Little John or Robin Hood. We've made up a character as well, a female character, because in the story Maid Marian's actually captured, so we've made up a female character. And you've got your own band of merry men. It's a worker placement game, so you're placing your meeples to get resources to build traps. Then once you've done your worker placement phase, you move on to the enemy phase, where the enemies appear in the resource sites, and the guards actually appear and they stop them becoming available. So if you need to get wood or weapons, then you've got to be careful. You've got to work together to try and keep the guards from going there by building traps. Otherwise, you're going to fail as a team, because carriages are collecting gold from the roads. They're taxing the villages that are off the board, and they're bringing the gold into the castle. So it's a bit like a tower defense. And if any one road loses all its gold, then you lose the game. So even though you've got your own individual points, you have to work together for the greater good. But there's also a mechanic in there where you can decide where, if you stop a carriage, do you place that carriage where you get the best reward or where the group gets the best reward. Now, in the last playtest that we did, I did it with Gonzalo from Thundergriff Games, and on the last turn I decided not to help the team out. I decided to be quite selfish.
Uh-oh.
And they were all like, what are you doing that for? We're going to lose, because there was only two coins left on one of the roads. But luckily on the next phase, that carriage didn't come in from that road, it came in from another one. So I won the game by 2 points. So
wow.
It's that sort of interaction that you need in this sort of game, because the theme is very fun. And the Merry Men always used to play, you know, I know it's not a real story, but if you watch the films, they play tricks on each other, and there's that working together, but for your own cause as well.
So it's 2 to 4 players, is that right? And what's the time, what's the normal play time? Once you know how to play the game, what's the normal play length?
You're looking at maybe half an hour per player.
Okay. Cool. Tell me a little bit about the Kickstarter that's coming up, the date, and so if you know the reward levels or anything that you'd like to share with the audience.
Yeah, we're aiming for the 21st of Feb. Final Frontier don't listen to everyone saying that it's best to launch on a Tuesday. They've got a lucky Wednesday, so they like to launch on a Wednesday. And it's worked
for. If you launch on a different date, then you're unique, and you're definitely.
Yeah, it's worked for them. I'm not saying this in any sort of bias whatsoever. I'm saying it as a backer. I think their campaigns are always run very well.
Yeah, I agree.
And the reward levels are always very good as well.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us, Martin. If you wanted to give our audience, tell them where they can find you or anything about what you're doing with the reviewing.
And about the game Robin Hood, where should they look for more information?
Facebook,
they can just type in Robin Hood and the Merry Men, and that'll bring that up. Final Frontier have got their own group as well. If anybody is a backer of either Cavern Tavern or Rise to Nobility, they've also got the Five Realms, because they share the same world. They've got a group if you search for that as well, so they'll be able to find everything that them guys are up to. Myself, Board Game Exposure, which is a Facebook group, and we just try to help the industry, share reviews out, and get, you know, the indie guys as much coverage as possible.
Cool. Well, we are looking forward to Robin Hood and the Merry Men coming to Kickstarter February 21st. So thanks for joining us, Martin. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it was great to have Martin Poole on the show to talk to us about Robin Hood and the Merry Men coming to Kickstarter February 21st, hopefully. And we're going to jump into our Kickstarter conniption now.
Kickstarter conniption!
So Katie, why don't you get us started?
All right, so today I'm talking about Aeons and Legacy. I have found recently that I'm particularly fond of Legacy games, so this one caught my eye. Aeon's End original game was a very successful Kickstarter back in 2016, and now they've brought in the Legacy version. It's a cooperative deck-building game, and this one, specifically the Legacy one, you're going to play as trainee wizards seeking to become breach mages. And you're going to, you don't need the base game to play this, so that's good. This is, it's the whole package when you support the Kickstarter. And you're going to be like learning spells, fighting monsters from the breach. It's got a post-apocalyptic magic theme to it. There's asymmetrical player powers. You get to name the characters in the game, which I think is always a fun thing to do in Legacy games. And it's a 1 to 4 players, and it says it's going to take about 45 to 90 minutes per session. And I think this looks like it's totally up my alley, and I'm definitely going to be looking into supporting this one.
Ooh, you're going to support it. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be
backing.
Fun.
So do you know what kind of levels they have?
No, I haven't actually seen the Kickstarter page yet. No, so.
But you're going to back the game and see what they get?
I know. Okay. Cool. So it looks fun. Ryan, what do you have?
I have a game called Alphas coming February 13th from Kid Loves Tiger Games.
That's an interesting name.
I wonder if their child loves tigers or something. I don't know. But it looks like an interesting game. It's an interesting mashup of different genres, superheroes and chibis.
Okay.
It's a game where you can play either a campaign mode as if you're going through several graphic novels, like a comic book type style. Or you can play head-to-head where you and another player build a team of these chibi superheroes and play against each other. And then there seems to be some sort of activation points. There's a deck of activation cards. And then you're also playing with some sort of special combat dice grading system that they talked about. I'm not quite sure what all's going on, but it says there's 3 different ways you can play the game. And I think that's what they're talking about. So if you're into superheroes and that chibi style of art, you might want to check out Alphas coming February 13th. Sarah, what are you going to talk about today?
I'm taking a look at Sword Crafters, and this is from Adam's Apple Games.
Adam's Apple.
Yeah, they've done a couple other games. they've already published Brewing USA and Truck Off the Food Truck Frenzy. So both of those have been to Kickstarter, and now they've got Sword Crafters. And Sword Crafters is a three-dimensional tile-building placement game.
Yeah, weren't you guys playing this tonight?
We did.
Ooh.
We played this one tonight. You're choosing tiles, and you are actually crafting your own three-dimensional sword with them.
Ooh.
Pretty cool.
Is there actually sword fighting in the game?
There is not sword fighting.
Well, not officially.
There's an official warning against
There is an official warning against sword fighting in this game.
So do you start with your handle?
Yes, yeah, so you start with a hilt.
Okay.
And
hilt.
Yes.
Sorry.
Get it
right. Whoa.
And there will be tiles laid out, and on your turn, you will divide the tiles into two sections.
Okay.
Everyone will go around and cut the pile, and then you will go around one more time and choose whichever pile you would like to add to your sword. And there's different ways to score points, like whoever's the longest at the end or whoever has the longest chain of matching gems on their sword will gain victory points and so forth. And there's magic and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it's a
cool concept.
Yeah,
it sounds
pretty.
And we're putting
unique.
A video
it's
review out sometime.
Yeah, there'll be a review
in the future.
Yes. Cool. So check out Sword Crafters. It's coming to Kickstarter on February 13th. Kevin, what do you got?
The one I'm talking about is Dungeons of Infinity, and it is launching February 17th. It's for
sounds long.
I know, right? Well, it is for 1 to 5 players, and it's 60 to 120 minutes, so an hour or 1 to 2 hours. So
that's
too bad. So I think the Dungeons of Infinity is because you can play a single game or a campaign mode, and it says there's 100 different events that you could get, I think, throughout a campaign.
Wow.
You can choose up to 5 heroes in the game. It says that it's like different experiences every time because of those different events. There's dice rolling for combat, but they say that the damage that you take is not random. So I don't know what that means. So maybe there's certain statistics that you know if this hits, then you're going to get certain damage. So it's not random damage. So that's nice. And lots of cards. It's over 350 cards. The art's nice. It's got, I don't know who the artist is. I can't say that. Sorry. Not happening. Oh. So, you want to try it?
A name? Oh, wow. Prabath Wijayantha?
I think it's Prabath Wijayantha. Wijayantha or something.
Good job, Ryan.
Wow. Right, you took it away from me, but so I couldn't read it anymore.
That's good, that's good.
Otherwise, you would have nailed it.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
So check out Dungeons of Infinity, February 17th. Melissa.
Well, on February 14th, Dice Throne Season 2 is coming.
Is there something more important happening on February 14th, though?
It's just Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
It's Katie's birthday.
And Katie's birthday.
Oh. And my birthday.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about
Valentine's Day.
How long have we known each other?
Not long enough.
That's the most memorable thing about my birthday, is it?
We should talk about this after the Kickstarter campaign. That's true.
All right, Melissa, sorry.
So back to Dice Throne Season 2. A lot of people are really excited about this.
It sounds romantic.
Dice Throne Season 1 was on Kickstarter and did well. So this is a standalone game that you can play standalone, or you can...
Not very Valentine's-ish.
Or it's also compatible with Season 1. So you could play it in conjunction with Season 1, or
so it's
as
not
a standalone.
Solo play. It's just, it's its own
right.
game.
Oh, standalone.
So that's, it's for 2 to 6 players.
Oh, okay.
And it's a dice combat game.
And did you mention who the designer or the publisher?
The first version, the Season 1, was Mind Bottling Games. Mm-hmm. And since then, Roxley has picked up Dice Throne.
Ooh,
and
Roxley's
so Roxley
got some good stuff.
Is actually
cool
going to be publishing this game, and they've really made some interesting changes with the art and layout. And
it seems like a
really cool.
like a westernish theme.
There's lots of different characters.
Okay.
This version adds 3 different boxes. I don't know if you can buy them separately or
okay.
all together.
Cool.
But each box has 2 different heroes that you can play.
Oh, cool.
So there's a tactician and huntress. There's a gunslinger and a samurai.
I remember that's what
that's
I saw.
The
gunslinger.
I was gonna say,
one.
Yeah. There's only like one guy on here that looks like a western.
Sorry.
And then the third one is a cursed pirate or the artificer.
What is that?
I don't know. He looks kind of like a mad scientist inventor sort of person.
Wizard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know in Dungeons and Dragons, an artificer is someone who makes magic items.
So,
oh.
So there we go.
There we go.
Ryan has the answer. So anyway, Dice Throne Season 2. It's a combat dice game where you're using the dice to activate your hero's abilities, and you have cards and things that enhance your hero's roles, and you are combating either 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, or 2v2v2.
Wow.
So, lots,
good job with that.
Lots of fighting in Dice Throne, and that's coming February 14th.
So we just heard that Katie's birthday is February 14th.
Yes.
Which is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been this whole time.
This whole time. My entire life, in fact.
Which is going to be a couple days after this.
I feel like that's just unreasonable pressure for Ryan.
It
like,
is.
How do you survive?
Every year.
Are you kidding?
I
He's only got to remember one day.
Every
one
year
day.
I fumble, and every year Katie is very gracious
oh,
to me.
No, Ryan does a great
okay,
job.
So,
and then he tries to up himself
so
every year.
Tonight, which
yeah.
is
I don't know what,
a week before her birthday, there's this box in your home, Will and Sarah's.
And was actually delivered by our intern Larry. Larry went to their house
secretively.
While they were at work,
ooh.
Picked up this box that had been delivered today with Katie's
huge.
Gift.
All right. So
several small animals
Katie,
could have fit in it.
Yeah,
was there a reveal that I
there
missed?
Was a reveal.
Ah!
Will missed it. He was
did.
Out. But Ryan said you can open it. Actually, we wrapped a little bit and then Katie opened it.
Yeah.
Cody says wrapped.
Like Kevin was like jiggy jiggy.
Yes,
wow.
Kevin was beatboxing really
oh, for
poorly.
Serious? I thought you meant like
and
you
Ryan
wrapped
Ryan was rapping terribly.
Yeah, I wasn't rapping. I was just like, yo yo.
Yeah, that was a great...
that rhymes with yo.
That was pretty much exactly how it happened. Just
word
then.
For word, rewrapped.
So then Katie opened it.
16. Yes.
And balloons and doves came out? Or like what?
Yes.
Wow.
That very thing.
All right, tell us what was in the box.
It was a weighted blanket.
Ooh.
And it's... Brian said it specifically because I sleep restlessly.
perfect.
Maybe it'll weigh me down and keep me from moving too much.
Take it in. Katie's been complaining about how she hasn't been getting good restful sleep. And I saw this thing, and it's supposed to, like, calm you and really, you know, help you get
because
good
you
rest.
Can't move.
And if I was shocked to find a blanket in there when I opened it, because I had moved the box, and I was like, this is a heavy box. So I was like, this is a blanket.
You thought you were getting board games, didn't you?
No, not with how heavy it was. I honestly had no idea
there
what was in
there.
Could have been a couple of very heavy things.
Yeah. I thought like the irony was going to be that she opened it up and it was like hate from Seema.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
With these weighted blankets, you're supposed to get them so they're like 10% of your body weight.
Oh, crazy.
So there was an awkward conversation where I was like,
oh, hey, that's why he asked.
How much do you weigh?
That was so
weird.
Did
you divide that by 10%?
He randomly texted me last week. How much do you weigh? And I told him, I'm not going to tell anybody on the podcast.
So you got a 10-pound blanket
as a blanket.
But then, as I say, but then that was all. He never followed up with anything. I was like, that was weird.
Yeah, I was just like, cool.
You just said, it's for my stats thing.
Yeah.
For my character.
I need to know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Wow.
Did Larry know that this is what he's picking up? I'm sure he did.
He knew he was picking up a package for me.
Not that it was a special anniversary.
No.
And don't forget about the other package that we saw you open tonight, too. That's very important for the people
right.
that heard a couple of episodes ago.
I finally got the collar for my brother-in-law's miter saw, which broke. It got lost in the mail, and they had to send me another one. It's just...
I remember this episode a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Ryan was...
So all progress on Board Game Room has been ceased, right? As a result of
borrowing another miter saw.
Oh, good.
All
right, good.
Yeah, we
hopefully have
one,
it tomorrow.
So.
Okay.
All right, so this weekend...
We're going to start.
Mitering away.
No.
Except for it's
we'll
now taken up with Tantrum House stuff. This is why
this
we can't
weekend,
make any progress.
Shooting video game
this
reviews.
Saturday,
board
we're shooting
reviews.
Five different videos.
Should we give them previews?
Yeah, a couple for the Dice Towers, some throwdowns.
All right, cool.
So I don't know
cool
if we
matchups.
Should, yeah, I don't want to talk about those, but they'll be coming. And then two playthrough videos. One will be Robin Hood and the Merry Men,
okay.
and the other one's the Duel of Kings card game. So did you guys play that tonight, too?
We did not.
Okay, but I think Ryan had played that sometime.
Yeah, we'll get some
yes.
couple more playthroughs in,
yeah.
and then we'll be ready for this weekend.
Yep.
Cool. All right, so I think that's pretty much it, right?
Don't forget about our Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter going on.
Yeah, which is at Kickstarter.com, Tantrum House, and then go to TantrumCon.com and register for our game day.
Even if you live far away, come
visit. It's fine, just come say hi for the day.
So it's all day. You got
we
all
have,
day to be here.
We have extra guest rooms if you need a place to stay.
Kevin and Melissa just volunteered.
All right. And, do all the cool things.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hope you had a great time. We'll catch you next time on the flip side. Or
and we
side.
Love you. Have a great Valentine's Day.
Happy Aww. Valentine's Day.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
We love our listeners.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
I hadn't fallen asleep yet. I was just like daydreaming, and I was like, I just had like an image of a large raccoon-like creature.
Rat
but it was a rodent. And then in the morning, we discovered we had mice in our nectarines.
In your nectarines? For the twist at the end.
Are these nectarines indoors or outdoors?
They're indoors.
Are we recording it?
Yes.
The whole time.
Okay.
It's weird. It's very strange.
So, that's the only dream I've had.